Greetings in Jesus' name. I am also grateful to be here with you this morning. And it's a blessing to be able to worship our God together. And as Brother Timothy said, recognizing that we have it much better than many others in the world today. And when we consider what it would have been like just a few years back, better than anyone would have had it. I mean, the way that we sit here in these chairs with cushions and summer air condition and winter heat, just the right temperature, at least for some people. It's set to whatever someone thought was the right temperature. And, you know, in the past, you would have had a wood fire and you didn't set thermostats. You tried to get the temperature where you wanted it, and then all of a sudden you have a crowd of people in there, and, it just is hard to regulate. But we just kind of expect that's the way things are. I would like to today talk about the way things are. In some other aspects, but some things that sometimes we don't recognize that are going on, but they are going on. Sometimes we don't recognize what's happening, but that doesn't keep them from happening. In fact, I would propose or suggest to you this morning that there's quite a bit of that that goes on in your life. Things are going on and happening, and you're not cognizant of it. It's that way in my life, and I expect it's that way in yours. Well, I also welcome each one of you here this morning. I do give a special welcome as well to you visitors. We're glad to have you. Okay, I would like to just, if you could all rise for prayer, and then I'll go to the message. Our Heavenly Father, we do again at this time come to you. And Father, we desire to hear what you would speak to us. Lord, I do pray that you would anoint my lips, as has already been prayed, that you would give me unction. Father, I desire, Lord, that the words that would come forth, that they would honor you, that they would glorify your name, that they would edify your people. Father, we desire that we might grow in grace. We desire, Lord, that we could climb upward and higher and to a greater understanding of holiness, and not only understanding, but to walk in that holiness. Lord, that we might be sanctified vessels, meet for your use. And Lord, I just pray now that you would bless the reading of your word, that you would bless your word, that as it is heard, as it is brought forth, that it might be effective, Lord, that it would not return unto you void. And so now we commit this time to you. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I have for a text this morning, Hebrews chapter 2, if you would like to turn there. Only going to look at one verse there, but I'd like to tell you a story, a true story, from not even a couple of years ago. Back in June of 2021, down in Austin, Texas, there were four women who decided that they were going to go out on the Colorado River on their boat, on a boat. I think they may have actually rented the boat. But they wanted to go out on the river, and I suppose just have a good time out there as friends, an enjoyable time out on the river. And so they go, they get out there, they go on the river there, June, that you can imagine, Austin, Texas. It's a warm day, and they're out there enjoying themselves and talking and engrossed in their conversation until all of a sudden, bump, they hit the dam. They hit a dam, or maybe they recognized before they got there, but it was too late. They couldn't stop themselves from hitting the dam. And here they were, the boat halfway across the dam. They were stuck right there. And there were some other people that had seen it, and they came over and threw a rope and tried to pull them back because they were precariously sitting there, almost half of the boat across the dam, the other half still in the river. And there they were. They were there, and the other boat couldn't pull them. They did finally, they brought helicopters in and threw life vests down to them. They didn't have those on. And they finally brought in rescue boats to be able to pull them back from the dam. They were rescued. My brother-in-law is an emergency management director there in Tennessee. And he's told me several stories of similar things that have happened there. The area that he's the director of has the Tennessee River flowing through. And I'll just give you one where three men were in a boat. There's a big hydroelectric dam on that river, which would be part of the county where he's the emergency management director there. And these men were in the lake portion of the river. What the dam does is it makes a lake. They call it Pickwick Lake, and Pickwick Dam is what the name of the place is there. Pickwick is the area. And they were on the lake, and I don't know if anyone knows exactly what happened there, but they were on the lake together, and for some reason, they went through the lock. The floodgate was open, and they went right through. And they found them a few days later. That's why we don't know what happened. That's why we don't know why they went through there. But it's likely that they were on the lake, a little bit like these women I was telling you about. They may have been fishing. They may have been having a good time. We don't know. But they found the bodies one by one. One, I think, pretty soon afterward. Some of the others not till a few days later. Two of the others not till a few days later. Why am I telling you these stories? Both of these stories relate to the passage that I'd like to read here in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. If you'll read that in almost any other version, I believe what you would find is that I'll just read it to you in another version. ESV says, therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. That's what happened in these two stories I told you, is they drifted. They drifted. And one of the things that happens when you're drifting many times is you don't really realize that you're drifting. If you're out on an ocean adrift, unless you're looking at the GPS or some other type of instrument to tell you where you're at and give you your bearings, how do you know whether you're staying in the same place or not? If you're out on a big lake, it's the same way. Now, on a river, you can pretty well depend on it. You are going to go downstream. You are going to drift downstream. And I would like to tell you this morning that I believe on the river of life that you and I find ourselves in, that is the normal thing to happen. The normal thing for all of us is if we don't on purpose fire up those engines, we're going to head downstream. We're going to drift downstream. I think that's the reason that it says here in Hebrews that we should give, as it says in the King James, it says, give the more earnest heed. We have to be earnest about this. We have to be on purpose about it. We have to make sure that what we are about is going to keep us from drifting downstream. We have all seen drift in others. And I would like for us to take an honest look at our own life this morning and see whether it's possible that there has been some drift in our own life. Have an honest evaluation this morning on your own life. Has there been any drift? And then I would like to also suggest to you this morning that it wouldn't be a bad idea for you to ask someone else, have you seen drift in me? Have you seen drift in me? Someone that will be honest with you. Because sometimes we don't recognize it. A few weeks ago, a friend of mine sent me a picture. He sent me a picture of a few people that I know well. One of them was me. And it kind of took me aback, you know. I mean, looking at the picture, there I was with a head full of black hair. And you can look at me now and see whether that's what I look like today. Yeah, at one point I did have that. And I don't consider that necessarily drift, that top of my head is bare and my head hair have turned white. But it is change. It is change that has happened in my life. Yesterday, or it was actually Friday evening, my brother, we had agreed as a family after my mother passed away last year that instead of some or one of us getting the pictures, the family pictures, we would put them all in a digital format and share them with everyone. Now, as I looked at those pictures, of course, I went down memory lane. Some 40-some years ago is when my family started taking pictures. Up to that point, we didn't. My parents had been Amish. Well, they hadn't been Amish quite that long, but still weren't taking any pictures. We moved to Tennessee in 1976, and I think we started taking pictures soon after we were there. And so some of the pictures are of those early days. 1976, what's that? 47 years ago. Pictures of what I looked like and what my mom and dad looked like and what my brothers and sisters looked like, and then what my associates, my peers, my friends looked like. Many of the same friends that I still have there, years progressed and you see the changes. You see it goes from this to this to this. And I'll be honest with you, there was some sadness as I seen, I was going to say the progression, but I don't know whether I wouldn't call it regression. Where you see the modesty, clearly defined modesty. And then you go a little bit longer, and maybe it's not so clear anymore. But it's probably still modest. And then you go a little bit farther, and probably isn't modest. And farther, and there's no doubt it's not. Yeah, I could see those things. I have seen those things in real life. What has happened? Could it be that some of that is a little bit like those women out on the Colorado River in Austin, Texas? They're so engrossed in their conversation. They're so engrossed with life that they don't recognize they're drifting. Sometimes we need a reality check. Sometimes we need to think about life and live life, not sometimes, but always on purpose. Live it on purpose. We ought to give the more earnest heed. We ought to give the most careful consideration, be the most, how does the ESV put it again? Therefore, we must pay much closer attention. Pay close attention so that we won't drift. It says, to what we have heard. I decided to title the message, The Gravity of Gradualism. It's a little bit of a play on words, because what I want to you to think about is gravity, that force which brings everything down. But I'd also like for you to think about the word gravity in the sense of the seriousness. The seriousness of gradualism. These stories that I told you, they didn't make a big leap and end up over the dam. It was a gradual progression or regression, whatever you want to call that, and they were there. It's a gradualism. The definition that it gives in the dictionary is the policy of approaching a desired end by gradual stages. So gradualism can be a good thing, and I want to mention that maybe a little bit further along, but I'll just mention it here now, that I would to God that there is some gradualism in our lives, that gradualism, that we are gaining ground, that we are going upstream, that we are becoming more and more like Jesus, being more conformed into the image of Christ, that the holiness and the sanctification of Christ Jesus is coming forth in our lives, and that the world can see that. That's a gradualism that I'm in favor of, that there's more and more of Jesus, that there's more and more holiness, that there's more and more of His Word taking root in our lives and us growing by it. So may that be the case. that we have that gradualism, not the one where there's a gradual progression downstream. Have you ever watched the hour hand on a clock? Can you see it moving? You look at it, I can't see it moving. So does that mean it's not moving? It's just staying right there at the 10. But I think we'd all agree it's moving very gradually. Have you ever tried to watch a plant grow? I've got some plants that grow many feet in a year. But I can go out there, and as careful as I want to, I can watch that plant and look very carefully for a long period of time, and I just can't see it grow. Does that mean it stops growing while I'm watching? No. It means that it's so slow that I don't see it. And I think that's what happens in life. In our spiritual lives, these things are so slow that we don't recognize it. We all know that clock, unless the battery's dead on it or is dying or whatever, it's moving. Even the minute hand, or the minute hand there, it's hard to tell, I mean, that it's moving. Let's look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, very familiar scripture. It's the parable of the sower, but I'd like to think about it in just a little bit different way maybe than we're accustomed to thinking about it. Matthew chapter 13, verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. I'd like to draw your attention particularly to verse 22, where it's the seed that fell among the thorns. And it says the seed that fell among the thorns is the persons or persons that hear the word, but the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. What I'd like, one of my concerns is this, that maybe we don't care to be in the rich world. We kind of like it, don't we? We kind of like riches, don't we? We enjoy riches. We enjoy what we get out of them. What about cares of this life? Now, for most of us, we don't like anxieties, but we enjoy life. I mean, and it's not wrong. I want to be clear about that. It's not wrong for us to enjoy life. But when that's what is our life, is the enjoyment that we get out of it, and when the riches are for that enjoyment, then I'm afraid we have digressed. We have, instead of gone upstream, we've started coming downstream. When we let those riches, when it says so clearly that the deceitfulness of riches choke, if the deceitfulness of riches choke, should it not be something that we take a very earnest heed that we keep those things from happening in our lives? I want to be clear here, and we know that it is a blessing. The scripture says it is more blessed to give than to receive. And you can't give if you don't have it to give. And so it's not wrong for us to make money. It's not wrong for us. I think it's right for us to labor with our hands, as the scripture says. But it doesn't say so that you can build fine houses and so that you can live a luxurious life. It says, so that you may have to give to him that needeth. And if we live our life that way, if we work with our hands, if we labor so that we have to give to the needy, and I bless God, I'm thankful for what you as a church have done to help the needy. I'm thankful for the money that we have been able to bring forth to help those in need. And so I'm not saying these things because I am down on us, but I'm concerned. We're living in a time of prosperity, I guess they call it. Sometimes you have to wonder whether it's prospering when the spirit isn't prospering so well. But prosperity in the material sense, there's prosperity like probably it's never been known. I know the way I grew up is nothing like I'm living today. I grew up where we had to work hard. We had to, because we didn't, well, and what we had to eat was not a five-course or seven-course meal. We were happy to have soybeans to eat. We ate soybeans because you could buy them by the bushel. You didn't know I lived that way, did you? And let me tell you, I didn't like soybeans. They were not the edible type. They were the kind that you feed to the cows. They were not that great to eat. But you know, they had a high protein, and Dad thought, well, you know, you can buy them by the bushel, and you can get by on that. And we did. We ate a lot of soybeans. We ate a lot of wheat. We grew our own wheat. We had wheat. I don't know whether you even know what graham pudding is, but we had that for breakfast time after time until I was so sick of it. I'm just telling you a little bit about the way I grew up. Did I have it hard? I didn't really particularly think so at the time. Now looking back at what my children expect, they would surely think they're having it hard if they would be having to live like that. But we had plenty to eat. We weren't hungry. Sometimes we were, but not because we didn't have enough to eat. Anyway, a bit of a rabbit trail there about how that we are living in a very materially luxurious time. I mean, it's unlike probably any time in history. I believe it's important that we look at this parable that Jesus gave here of the sower of the seed, and we look at it honestly and we say, have the deceitfulness of riches had any choking effect on us? Have they had any choking effect on us? Is it possible? Honestly, look at that. Have we become, and you know, people talk about the rat race. They talk about, here in Pennsylvania especially, that there's this rat race that we are all in, like it's just something that you have to do. You're in this, and could that be cares? Could that be the cares of life? And I'll just tell you our experience here again. People would ask us after we moved here, I guess you probably weren't prepared for this rat race when you moved here. The fact is, we moved here and slowed down. We moved here and things weren't the rat race that we came out of, in fact. But we're back to it. We're back to where we started, pretty much, probably in many ways. And that, I'm not against us being busy, and I'm not against us being involved and doing things. But I do think it's important for us to be purposeful in our busyness. Be purposeful in what we are busy in. Because if we're just in this rat race, then we're going to be like the rats. And I don't think we want to be like the rats. Thinking about gradualism. It's that way in these things, in riches. It's not like you win the sweepstakes and get $1 million, at least most people. It's a progression. You just, you know, your standard of living just gets a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. That's the tendency. That's the tendency. Rather than recognizing I have enough. Share it with others. We don't have to live like the best. We don't have to have the best. In fact, I would propose to you that there's something to be said for simple living. It's something that I believe is a godly thing. I think it's a good thing for us to live simply, whether it is in our meals, whether it's in our clothing, whether it's in our homes, whether it's in our vehicles that we drive, that there's a simplicity that we have about our life, our lifestyle. That it's not this thing that becomes so complicated. We have all of these things. You have to have this to support that and that to support this and on and on and on. And you get into that rat race where it's running around and around on that little old what do you call the treadmill? You just keep on going. You've seen those little rats or mice, you know, they're in there just going and getting nowhere. We want to get somewhere, brothers. We have a higher calling. We have a high calling in Christ Jesus, and we desire to gain higher ground, not to just be on that little old treadmill running round and round and round. Paul said to the Galatians, he didn't waste much time saying it either. It's already in the 6th verse of the 1st chapter. He says this, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. They moved. He says, I marvel that you have so soon moved. So their gradualism, they gradually moved, I believe, but it was faster. He was marveling how fast it was. The reality in life is, I think we all know this, that there is a natural digression, natural regression. For instance, you think about it. What do houses do if you leave them alone? If you don't do anything to keep them up, they'll just go downhill. The same thing will happen with a car. You leave that thing set for a few years and see what happens. It won't start, or maybe if it does, it won't run. The tires are flat, and on and on. Those type of things. That's what is natural in life. Things go downhill. Things regress. And that's what happens in our lives unless we are purposeful about it. Unless we're purposeful about life, then it's going to be the case that we are going to drift closer and closer and closer to that dam. And woe to us if we get so close, that maybe at the last minute we recognize what's going on, but it's too late, we're over. That's what has happened time and again for many people in life. And I believe it's also happened in spiritual lives. They didn't realize when they made the choices that they were making where those choices were going to lead them. And I'll be honest with you. I think it's something that's hard for us sometimes to see the end results of some of the choices that we make. Because we look at it here and now. It's a little bit like the clock. You know, that hand was up at the three a little bit ago when I pointed it out to you. Where is it at now? It's down at the five. And that's what happens in life. You look and it's still not moving. I mean, I'm looking at it and I can't tell that it's moving, but it has moved. And that's what happens in life. You don't notice it, but it's moving. I think that's the devil's way. Gradualism is his way. He doesn't come with ice cubes to cool you off. He just moves you away from the heat. That's what I would propose to you this morning, is that we draw nigh to the one who has the heat, who is the heat. Draw nigh to our Lord. Draw nigh to his word. Be so on fire and so passionate for him and his word that ice cubes won't cool us off. Because there's something more. There's a fire burning in us. There's a fire burning that's going to just evaporate the ice cubes, so to speak. We know that that's what happened with Balaam. With Balaam, we see he looked down there on the camp of the Israelites, and he came up with a plan. He didn't say, let's just go in there and let our wives marry them. No, you have to move in closer. You have to become friends. You get in there and you develop relationships with them, and you have this good time with them, and then you marry, and then you go on, and things progress until you have them where you need them. You have them weakened to where now you can conquer. That was Balaam's plan. That was what he proposed to Balak. It's a little bit the same thing that happened with Samson. And I'm not going to turn to these stories this morning, but it's a little bit the same thing that happened there. He came in there to Delilah, and he laid his head on her knees. And she lulled him off to sleep. And she would ask him one thing, and he would tell her, he lied to her about where his strength lay. But there was a progression. It kept going until finally he just told her, you do this. You cut my hair and I will lose my strength. But you know what the scripture says there about him? It says that she did that and he woke himself and shook himself and wist not that his strength had departed. He didn't know that his strength had departed. And I wonder whether it could be possible that many Christians don't realize that their strength has departed because they have laid their heads on Delilah's knees. They've come there. They've gone too far. They've done it too many times. He did shake himself how many times and got up and took those gates up onto the top of the hill and whatnot. He did. And I think that's the way it is for us. We can time after time, we still have strength and we still have some overcoming power. But there comes a time when we're overcome. When we're overcome. If we continue in that. We see two of the churches in Revelation where it seems to me that is a little bit what you have. One of them, they were told, you have lost your first love. That fire was no longer burning in their hearts. That love for Christ Jesus was no longer the way it was when they first came to Christ. The other one said, they were told that they were lukewarm. Again, it's that same type of thing. What you do with boiling water, you just set it out, and what happens? It will become lukewarm soon enough. Unless there's heat to keep it boiling, it will become lukewarm. And so it is for you, and so it is for me. We will become lukewarm unless we stay on the heat. If we don't stay on that heat, that's the natural thing to happen. My question to you, honestly this morning, can you honestly say, the heat is turned up as high as it's ever been turned in my life? Can you honestly say that? I praise God if you look at your life and you say, amen, yes, that's where I'm at. But then I would go a step further and say, ask someone that knows you well, what do they say about that? Because we can be self-deceived. We can be self-deceived. I've seen people that I believe were self-deceived. They believed that they were on the fire as hot as ever. But when I looked at their lives, the evidence did not show that. Their lips would say, yeah, I have never loved Jesus as much as I love him now. But I look at their lives and I see a love of the world. And the scripture is clear. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. That is the scripture. You can't. It can't be. You can't say that. You have a love for Jesus more than you've ever had, and the love of the world is so great in you. That's impossible. It's one or the other. You've probably heard the saying about the Israelites. Egypt. They left Egypt, but Egypt didn't leave them. You know what happened with them? They did. They physically left Egypt, and they got out there. But what did they do? They started hankering after the flesh pots of Egypt. They started hankering after the things that they had. It's a little bit like folks that talk about the good old days, I think. You know, they didn't have it so nice, actually, in Egypt. It's amazing to me how you could be out there not remembering those slave masters cracking the whip when you're out there. But that's what happens. You kind of forget those things, and you remember all those flesh pots. You remember the leeks and the garlic and the melons and all of that fine food that you had to eat back in Egypt. And here we are, and all we have is this manna. That's what they were saying. And manna, I'd love to have some today. I mean, probably all of us would love to have some manna today. But I think we're also probably honest and real enough to know that maybe after having it for a few hundred days, we'd be kind of glad to have something else. So I'm not looking down my nose at them for their temptations, but I would like for us to learn from them. Learn from their falling, their failings. Imagine you're on an airplane headed south. That airplane is flying, let's say, at 600 miles an hour. You're flying south, 600 miles an hour. You're at the front of the airplane, and you decide you're going north. And so you run down the aisle just as fast as you can back to towards the back of the plane. Are you going north or south? You're definitely still going south. I don't care how fast you can run. You're still going south. Well, that's a little bit what I would like to propose to you this morning, is that that's a little bit how it is sometimes. You can look around yourself and you can see all these people sitting in their seats while you're running down the aisle, and they're definitely going north faster than you are. If you compare yourself with others, if you compare yourself with others around you and use that as your guidepost to tell whether you are drifting, that's not very safe. That's not a good way to determine whether you're drifting or not. The story is told of Robert Peary, the explorer who claimed to have gotten to the North Pole. And they said that, I don't know for how long it was, but for a long period of time, a good period of time, he was going on this trek and thought he was making good progress until he checked his instruments and found out he was on an ice floe that was drifting. He was walking, he was making progress in that way, but he wasn't making progress. It's a little bit like the guy on the airplane. I don't care how fast he runs the other way from what the plane is going, he's not going north if the plane is going south. You're going with it. In one of Aesop's fables, he tells this story of a pigeon who looked on a sign, and this pigeon was hungry, or a dove, whatever it was so thirsty, it looked and it seen this water on the sign, and it flew for all it was worth to get to the water, and bang, it hits the sign and falls down. Because regardless how much it looks like water, it wasn't. And I think sometimes we have those illusions in life. We have some illusions of what we're gaining and we're actually not. We think this is going to bring joy, and it's an illusion. True joy doesn't come from material things. True joy comes in serving God and following after Him. The joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, as the Scripture says. Well, I'd like to move on here to... maybe I'll just mention another story that's told of some boys in London some years ago, back before... Yeah, it's quite some time ago, but these boys would be whistling a tune and be singing and whatnot, and people started noticing that they were off key. And then they figured out what actually was happening is they were singing because I don't know whether it was Westminster or where, but they were hearing this tune off key, and all they were doing is just singing it the way they were hearing it. It's a little bit that way in life. If we are in a company where this is what is done, we are influenced by it. It's natural for us to be influenced by it. They probably had heard that song right at some point in time, but when they heard it enough times from that bell ringing, they started singing it that way. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, says this about Peter and John, "And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus." Do they recognize that you have been with Jesus? Do they recognize that I have been with Jesus? Your associates, those people that you interact with, do they recognize? The King James says they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Do they recognize by your actions that you have been with Jesus? Do the attributes of Jesus Christ come forth from your life? Or have you been in the thorns and the cares of this life? Deceitfulness of riches have choked until you've become unfruitful. What you feed will grow. In Romans chapter 8, verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If you feed the Spirit will live. If you feed the flesh will live. Which are you feeding? And you know, I think the truth is many of us have tried to feed both. Many of us have tried to give that flesh a little nugget every now and then, because the flesh enjoys nuggets. The flesh enjoys a little bit of food, doesn't it? Something to give it a little more strength. But let's starve it. Let's starve that flesh and feed the Spirit. Let us feed the Spirit so that the Spirit can get stronger and stronger and the flesh weaker and weaker. I'm not preaching at all the eradication of it. I'm not saying that you're going to get to the point where that flesh is going to be completely dead in your life. But it should be each one of our heart's desire that it could be deader in the days to come, that it would die more as years go by, that the flesh no longer has its effect on us, used to have. And I believe that's possible. I think many of us can attest to various areas in our life where that is the case, where the flesh had its grip on us. In this area, we have gained ground in that, and we have been able, by the Spirit, to overcome those things. And that's my heart's desire this morning. It's my passion and desire for you as well as for myself. And I am preaching to myself, like they say, and you can just listen in, maybe. So a few questions. Do your lifestyle choices clearly reflect that you have a higher purpose in life? The lifestyle choices that you make, you are making choices. Now, some of you children aren't, but lifestyle choices. But us adults, we're all making lifestyle choices. Do they clearly show that we have a higher purpose in life? What do you think? Would your neighbor recognize that you're seeking first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness? Would your neighbor recognize that? Could they look at you and they could recognize, yep, it's pretty clear. What's important to him is the kingdom of heaven and righteousness. They can recognize by your actions the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness is what's important to him. I can see it. Has your clothing become simpler and more modest? When you look at pictures, and some of you aren't old enough maybe to see much difference, but some of us are old enough. If you look at old pictures, how do they compare with what you dress like today? Don't tell me that form-fitting dresses today and loose, modest ones from the past is more godliness today. Don't tell me that. I think you know better. We all know better. If that's the case, if it's become more form-fitting, if it has become less modest, then let's be honest. Let's recognize we've drifted. We have drifted. And maybe I'll just be a little bit bolder still and say to you, sisters, look at your head covering. See how it's doing. Has it gotten further back? Or has it stayed the same? Or further forward? And which would you say brings more glory to God? Which would you say shows more holiness? Holy women of old adorned themselves. And you know what it says. What about your leisure time? What's it spent on? Vacations. Where are you going? What for? Can we be honest about those things? Can we ask ourselves those questions? Are we becoming more holy? Are we gradually attaining to higher ground? Or are we drifting downstream? We should ask ourselves those questions. I think it's important that we ask ourselves those questions. What about our music? Do the things that you listen to today, would they be things that in the past you would have never done? Why? Why? Is it because you have become, the songs have become more godly? Is the music more godly? Are the lyrics more godly even? More holy? Ask yourself the question. The vehicles you drive, have they become more luxurious, finer, or maybe they're the same? Or, yeah, just be honest. And obviously, if we have we've decided that we used to drive around in a jalopy that cost us $1,000 every few weeks to keep up, it's not wrong for us to decide that one that costs a little bit more money and has less upkeep, if we can justify things that way. I'm just saying, let's not try to justify what we know in our hearts is not the case. What about where you dwell, your homes? I don't mean these things to be condemning. I mean them to be things that we look at, to be guideposts, that we can look over to the side of the river, so to speak. And we know that that pole right there is where we started from when we got off the riverbank. And we're now in the middle of the river, and we can use that pole over there, and we can see whether we have drifted downstream or not. That's what we need. We need some of those guideposts, some of those posts in life that we can look at and say, okay, I know where I was, and I know where I'm at now. You need a reference point like that. I believe, as I said earlier, that a brotherhood is beneficial. Asking someone else, what do you think? How have I done? Have I gained ground? Have I gone upstream some, or have I drifted down? So in closing, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. God bless you as you pay much closer attention, as I pay much closer attention, so that we don't drift away from the Word, so that we don't drift away from Christ Jesus, so that we are not one of those churches in Revelation where we have drifted away from our first love, or we have become lukewarm. God bless you as you turn up the heat, as you draw nigh to the heat, to Christ Jesus our Lord, and be conformed more and more into the image of Christ Jesus. That's my longing for my own life, and it's my longing for you. Let's bow on our knees. Yes, Lord, we do long to be more like you. We do long, Lord, to be a living testimony of Christ Jesus. We do desire, Lord, that when the world sees us, that they would recognize that we have been with Jesus, that they would recognize the nature of Christ Jesus coming forth from us, that they would recognize that we are followers of Christ just by looking at our lives and hearing the words that come forth. You know, that we desire, Father, to be your children, not only in words, but in deed and in truth. We desire, Father, that this church, Lord, could be holy, set apart unto good works. And Father, we desire that as we see the day approaching when we will be called home, that that time could be a time of joy, knowing that there's a crown prepared for each one of us. We desire, Lord, that when we come to that time, that we could hear those joyful and blessed words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Father, we desire that we could have that life that would not only talk about the good life, the spiritual life, but rather that in deed and in truth we could live it. Father, I pray for each brother and sister and loved and one and strangers here today. I pray that you would bless each one. And Lord, may we all together strive not for the meat which perisheth, but that which will endure forever. That spiritual food, that spiritual drink, Lord, that we can drink of and not become thirsty again. Lord, we just pray now that you would be with us, that you would lead us on. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen.